Episode 131, Going Home. Everyone likes to go home. Whether it's after a long trip or just a day at the mall, we all look forward to going home. God knows about home. He invented it. Home is where you are accepted. You can be yourself, and you feel secure. Jesus is preparing a heavenly home for his people with all that's good and where all the troubles of this life are gone. Best of all, he will be there. Do you want to go? Here's Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And grace and peace to you. Home. Home. We just love the sound of that word. Although nobody had a perfect home, for most of us, home was a good place of peace, security, and acceptance. You had food to eat and a bed to sleep in and people to love you. You know, God designed home to be that way. It's his design. When we're away, we just love to get home. And, of course, I experienced this, and many of you did who were in the military. And we see a lot of these homecomings on TV where the man or the woman who's been serving comes home. Sometimes there's the surprise there that the children or the wife or the husband didn't realize they were going to be home that soon. And what a great rejoicing there is. Wonderful surprise and excitement to be with their loved ones again. When you've been on vacation, and we love to go on vacation, but how many at the end of vacation just kind of just can't wait to get home, right? We've had enough. Just got to get home. Or even when you're out shopping at the mall. You've been walking around through Boscoff's and Walmart and JCPenney and Best Buy and wherever else you go. And it's just, I got to get home. Got to put my feet up. I've had enough of this. It's just good to get home. Jesus understood about home. John 14, 28. This extended discourse he has here in John, I love to read it again and again, he had with the disciples as he was facing the cross, knew what was going to happen and knew the end for him was near in a sense, his earthly ministry and after the cross, something great was going to happen for him. He said, "You heard that I said to you, I go away. And I will come to you." And they were troubled about that. And that was earlier on. They're not knowing where he was going and asking him about all of that. He says, "If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I." He was going home. I think this is often overlooked when we think about the sufferings of Jesus. We read about it in Philippians 2 where he gave up his privileges, you know, to become one of us and was found in likeness as a man. But that he was away all the time he was on the earth from the loving presence of his heavenly Father. That beautiful oneness and unity and love that characterized the Godhead from all eternity. Father, Word, and Spirit. Jesus left it. And he did not have access to it. And it's no wonder that we see him in the Gospels how often he prayed, wanting to talk with his Father about what was happening and if he was doing the right thing and what he wanted him to do and so forth. And different times he was strengthened by angels, his Father recognizing he was away from that beautiful place called home with his heavenly Father. We noted this in our Bible study this morning, how Jesus called God his Father while he was on the earth, didn't he? My Father. He said, "You should rejoice when I say, I go to the Father." Someday, As we sang, and thank you, Don, for the songs, we'll be going home. Those of us who are God's children. It'll be a place you've never been, but you'll know it's home. You'll know it's home. So we want to talk about that this morning. Draw some parallels between our earthly homes and our heavenly home. Revelation 21, we can turn there, and I'll read that in just a minute. But home is where you can rest, put your feet up, get your favorite beverage, whether it's your tea, your coffee, your Mountain Dew, or your latte, or whatever you like. And you just kind of be free of worries and troubles for a while, you know? You just forget about what's going on and the needs and the problems. You just be home. Well, our heavenly home is just like that. In fact, we sang about that in one or two of the songs. Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And then he said to me, "It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost." First thing we want to notice here is this: God is doing this. God is actively involved in doing this. He's planned it. He's bringing it about. He knows what we need. And this is his will for his people. God is amazing. God is love. And again, you've heard me say before, God gets bad press. Yeah, God is holy. Yes, he wants us to do what's right. But this is the kind of thing he's got prepared for his people. God is a giver. God knows how to throw a party. God knows how to bless. God knows what rejoices us. God knows what we really need deep down inside. He knows all this and more. And this is what he's planning for us. This is like Eden renewed and the curse removed. If we think way back as we connect all of Scripture from the beginning, the creation to the recreation, "Behold, I make all things new." That's what God is doing, bringing us back home with him. And notice here the thoughts about he will dwell among his people. He will set his tabernacle among his people. We will be with him. And we'll have more to say about this later on in another scripture in regard to Jesus, our Savior, about whom we sang. We want to see his face, to be with him. A couple of those verses in those songs I can't hardly sing. Maybe you're like that too. And again, all the bad, the evil, the pain, the heartaches, the trip to the hospital, the trips to the ER, the worries about money, surgeries, what have you, gone. No more. Done. It's over. You really be free. Free from all that. It's true. And they'll be replaced, not just in emptiness. What's good and joyful and righteous and peaceful and, as we said, what God knows will make us rejoice. It'll be like a homecoming, an awards banquet, a victory celebration, a retirement party all at once. All rolled into one. You know, we should really be looking forward to that. We really should. And then I love verse 5. Write, for these words are faithful and true. Those words are applied later on in the book of maybe previous in the book of Revelation to Jesus when he comes back. That name is written on him, faithful and true. We take that phrase and use it in our wedding ceremonies in one song, don't we? Faithful and true. That's where it comes from. And it comes from God himself being faithful and true to us, true to his word, that he will keep this. He says, right, these words are faithful and true. God's not lying to us. He can't lie to us. He doesn't want to lie to us. He says, write to my people that this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to do this for them. And of course, within the book of Revelation, we have that great warfare going on, and he's trying to encourage those who are being persecuted by the dragon not to quit, not to give up. I'm preparing a home for you, no matter what happens to you in this life. It's going to be great. So hang in there. So the question for you and me is, are we looking forward to this home? Or do we get, as Mike prayed, we get so focused on stuff here, and we start to let it get us down, and we start to worry about it, and we start to think there's no answers, and, you know, look up. I know we have problems. I know we have to work through things, and we have responsibilities, but this is waiting. This is waiting, and we want to remember that, and we want to share it with other people. You probably know other people, your family or neighbors or somebody you work with, you know, they're all down, they're worried about life and this and that. Say, wait a minute. Christians got a hope. Christians got a home waiting, a place where you don't have to worry about the retirement money running out. How many of you see that on TV? You know, you got enough in the bank to last, you know? Will Social Security be there for you? All these worries? Ah. No worries about that. God will provide more than we need. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4. You know, home is a place, we talked about, you know, put your feet up and you have all those peace and amenities there, but home is also a place where you have your family and friends, you know? Depending on where you are in life or thinking back to what home was for you, your parents were there and you could, you know, count on them. Mom would have, we were talking again in the Bible class this morning, Mom would have food on the table and the clothes would be washed and Dad would be bringing home the paycheck and you could just be a child. And you, if you're older, you had your own children and you had that nice family arrangement there. You're rearing your kids and wonderful times together on vacation or holidays or whatever. Or maybe you're a member of the siblings, you know? Or maybe you don't want to remember your siblings. You didn't get along with them 100%, but still, they're your brother, your sister, and even though you squabbled and fought, you'd go to bat for them, wouldn't you? You'd die for them if somebody else started to come against them. So that was home. Well, home for us as Christians will be the same. 1 Thessalonians 4, here, these Christians, you know, they were just getting the word. Paul had been there at Thessalonica and taught some, but he couldn't, you know, you can't get it all in one lesson or one week. And so they had written him and he had questions. And the question here was about, well, what about all those who have already died? What will happen to them who have died in Christ, died as Christians? So that's the context here for this reading. Paul says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. That's what he's talking about, those who are dead. And the scripture uses that idea much about those who are dead. They're asleep. Their body's in the ground and their spirit has gone back to God. They're asleep. So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Don't want you to worry about them or grieve about them. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and there's the foundation for all of this, isn't it? If Jesus died for us, for our sins, and he rose again, he came back from the dead. If we believe that, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. He's not forgotten them. He'll bring them on that day. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. And as we read Scripture, we understand that there will be some alive when Jesus comes back. But he's saying here, those who are standing upright, if you will, when Jesus comes back, they're not going to precede those who have already died in Christ. 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. I love that phrase. Because, you know, Jesus wouldn't miss this for the world. He said he's coming back, and he's coming back to get his own. He wouldn't miss it. He wants to bring his own home. He wants to finish the job, if you will. Bring us home. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. He's going to come down. He's going to leave his place by the heavenly Father, and he's going to come back. He's going to come down to bring home all those who are his. Isn't that marvelous? Doesn't that tell you something else about your God? He does love you. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. I don't know who's going to shout, but as I read this, I think that's separate from the voice of the archangel. I wonder what he sounds like. Trumpet of God. You know, you won't need an email, a phone call, a text message to get this. A posting on Facebook. Everybody's going to know it. Everybody. Loud and clear. He's coming. Here he comes. Trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Now the rise here, if you look at it carefully, because then he goes on to say, then we who are alive, certainly, they're going to be resurrected from the dead. All right? They're going to be resurrected from the dead. Get that new spiritual body, 1 Corinthians 15. We're not going to use that in our lesson today. You can go there and read that. Get that new spiritual body, because the mortal cannot put on immortality. It has to be changed. But the rise here means they're going to rise in the air. That's the rise. They're going to rise first. You see, they get to take off first. You don't need a ticket. You don't need wings. You don't need an airplane, a helicopter. You just get to rise. Mm-hmm. Seventeen. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. So the dead in Christ will take off first, and then those who remain will follow will meet the Lord in the air, and he says, so we shall always be with the Lord. This is the family of God that you will spend eternity with. Those who are in Christ, those who are raised, those who are alive, but it's those who are in Christ. That'll be our family. And I know many of us have family that are asleep. They've already crossed over. And you know, we look forward to seeing them. Many people, you know, they ask the question, I never thought there was this was a question to ask, but will we know one another in heaven? You've heard that. I think this passage right here says we will. Because these Christians were concerned about the ones they knew that had already died. Paul says, don't worry about them. They'll be there, right? They'll be there. Jesus will bring them. They'll rise first. And then we shall all be caught up with the Lord together. So you get to see your loved ones who are in Christ. You know what that'll all be like? You know, we don't have a lot of details, but there'll be that fellowship, that reunion, all with Jesus there. And as I was doing this, I was also thinking, you know who else is going to be there? Noah and his wife. Maybe you'll get to ask her what her name is, you know? And Abraham, Sarah, no doubt. And Moses, David. Want to talk to David a little bit? Yeah. And Elijah, and Jeremiah, and John the Baptist, they're all going to be rising too. Isn't that amazing? So you shall always be with the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. All his through all the centuries, all the centuries. He's going to bring them. Not a one's forgotten, not a one. Amazing thoughts. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. This heavenly home, as we said, it's talking there from the Thessalonian reading, it's for those who are in Christ, and it's for anyone who wants to go there. It's for anyone who wants to be there. But you've got to want to be there. It's not going to be an automatic like some people think. Well, God is so good and he's so loving that nobody's going to be lost. That's not what the scripture teaches. 2 Corinthians 5 and 4. For indeed, while we are in this tent, and in the context here, the tent here is this body we live in, this body of dust, this little, I think some translations have tabernacle. But it's just where what you're living in, this body, as we'll see. Indeed, while in this tent, we groan being burdened, right? We have the troubles of being in this body. And we get more troubles the older we get, right? Yeah. I shared this with a couple of you, and I read this the other day. I forget where it was. Everybody wants to live a long life. But nobody wants to get old. And it's true, isn't it? But you can't have one without the other. So in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Just what I said there from 1 Corinthians 15, that new spiritual body that is immortal. We'll get real life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. I love that God has been preparing us for this. You know, this is this has been his aim, his goal, like we read there in Revelation 21. It's out there, preparing us to change from this body into this other body, the one that will be in eternity. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we're here in this body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, yes, we still have prayer. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. He resides within us. We have the Word that we go to, and He teaches us, and we see the picture of Jesus in the Word. But like we read that first scripture about Jesus, He said, I'm going to the Father. It's the same way with us. While we're living in this body of flesh, we are absent from the Lord. And that's why he goes on to say, we walk by faith, not by sight. We're believing in him. We're looking forward to that day. We're believing in his promises. We realize that he is alive. He is there. As Peter wrote, whom you've never seen, yet you loved. You love him. You've never seen him. We've never seen him. But we believe by faith that he's there and he's waiting for us. He's going to come back and all these things we're talking about. Verse 8, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. There's the preference, you see. Prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Are we looking forward to it? So I say, you have to want to be there. You have to want to go. And so order your life and believe in Christ and walk with him through this life and be looking forward to that day when the trumpet sounds and you hear the archangel call out whatever he's going to call out. John 14, we read this a lot, we hear this a lot at a funeral service, but it is really the crux of eternity. As we said, Jesus had shared with the disciples here just earlier, I'm going away, where I go, you can't come. And they're all, Peter especially, where are you going, Lord, why can't we come? Jesus' response, do not let your heart be troubled, all right, that I'm going away. That's really what he's saying. Believe in God, believe also in me. Some translations say, render it, you believe in God, believe also in me. Either one would be right. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Some translations have mansions, rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. God cannot lie. Revelation 21, that's what we're talking about, the house, the home, place. God trying to show us how beautiful and glorious it'll be. He says, if it weren't so, I'd have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. However you want to think about that, that's what he said. You have to believe him. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, it isn't about the place, okay? And I'm sure the place is going to be nice, and we've seen some of the thoughts there and amenities about what it'll be like. But it's not about the place. It's not about getting the cabin overlooking the lake. You know, and having the snowy mountains in the background, and maybe it'll be that, I don't know. But it's not about the place. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's what we just saw in Thessalonians, right? He's going to come back himself, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the whole deal. Where Jesus is, you can be with him. He's our hope. He's our life. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's the one who died for us. He's our Redeemer. He's the one we are to love with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. We're going to go home to be with Him. To see His face, to see His smile, to hear His voice. Did you ever wonder what the voice of Jesus sounded like? We get to hear that. To be like Thomas, as we sang in the song, to touch the nail prints, to bow in His presence, my Lord and my God. All this worship we do in this body, this tent, is actually by faith, isn't it? You ever think about that? The worship is by faith, mind and spirit. But when we're in His presence, be by sight. We'll see Him, bow down. Can't wrap my mind around all that. Maybe you can. Back to Revelation 21:7 to close out. I didn't read that last verse, if you noted. One of my very favorite verses in the whole scripture. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. What else do you want? What else do you want from love? God will be your God and you'll be his son. Are you on the way there? Question you need to ask. Like we had in Bible class this morning, the rich young man came up and asked Jesus, what will I do to inherit eternal life? Question we need to ask. What do I need to do to get home? To be with Jesus. Have faith in Him. Trust in Him. Believe that He gave His life for you. He was raised from the dead. Respond to that in faith. Repenting of the life you've been living. Giving your life to Christ. Turning from evil. Turning to good. Being baptized with Him in the water, to receive the gift of the Spirit and cleansing, and then just walk with Him. Strive hard. Yeah, you'll stumble and fall, but He'll forgive you. Just keep working for Him and looking forward. Yeah, there'll be hard times, difficulties, persecution, but as we saw, you're on the way home. You're not going to an empty place, no place. You're going home. If you want to go home this morning, please come while we stand and sing.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shady Side Church of Christ, please go to our website at cfcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Shady Side Church of Christ. Remember, all are welcome. Thanks again. Have a blessed week.